Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, it's Jackie Cation, and you are listening to the Dork Forest. The website's jackiecation.com, dorkforest.com, thedorkforest.com if you like a determiner. Let's do the credits. Patrick Brady's going to fix this audio and video. Vilmos works on JackieCation.com. And Mike Rickberg sang the song with his wife, Sarah. He composed it, and he will sing his version of the Mexican hat dance at the end of this show. Thank you so much for listening to the Dork Forest. Here's a scoop. I'm doing stand-up online. A lot of Zoom shows will eventually go back on the road. Sign up for my email list. It's easy to get off. It's harder to get on than it is to get off. And no harm, no foul, if ever bored. JackieCation.com. Sign up for the email list. You'll find out about my weekly Zoom shows and stand up on the road eventually. You may donate to the show if you would like. I would like. Sure, I would. There's PayPal, Jackie@JackieCation.com, and there is a PayPal button on both DorkForest.com and JackieCation.com, and there's Venmo if you like Venmo, Jackie-Cation, oddly enough. If you have listened to all of the shows, go to dorkforest.bandcamp.com, I think. The Dork Forest has a Bandcamp page. You can listen to a lot of ones that are free from pre-2009 when I started pre-recording. And then there's live episodes that cost me a couple of bucks, so I charge you a couple of bucks. There's also some stand-up. There's a story album that's very exciting there. And other than that, I have a lot of merch in my garage. Feel free to order if you know anybody who doesn't have any CDs or the DVD. And you can follow me everywhere at Jackie Cation. Let's get into the show.
Hey, it's Jackie Cation. I'm in my living room. I am not in my living room. I used to record. This is like 2 years ago I used to record in my living room. I'm currently in my garage, people. I'm in my garage. I'm in the tiny room of requirement, which is a room that when things are needed, this is the room we come to. And it is my guest. I just did his podcast, which is it called DeMond Does?
Yes.
Do you know what I called it? Six what? Questions. That's what I called it.
Okay.
But DeMond Does, D-E-M-O-N-D, D-O-E-S, DeMond Does. And it's at DeMond Does on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, all the things. It is a podcast where you ask the same six questions of different people, correct?
Yes. Yes, it is.
And I was on it, and I answered those questions, and we meandered, and I liked you, and I said, would you like to do the Dork Forest? And so here you are now in the Dork Forest.
And I was honored and accepted, and here we are.
Right. And you also have a nerd debate show called DisputedPod.com. Disputed, spelled like disputed. Pod, spelled like pod, P-O-D. And it's like Harry Potter versus Luke Skywalker, or what was the one you just did?
Daffy versus Donald Duck.
Oh, those two. Dueling yes, pianos.
It was quite the extravaganza.
A throwdown. So, but speaking of a throwdown, it's going to be another episode. I'm still trying to get my mind around this dorkdom. It's wrestling, professional wrestling. It isn't Olympic wrestling, right, DeMond?
No, it is. there have been Olympic wrestlers in professional wrestling.
Okay.
But there is a crossover. There's more of it now than there used to be.
Oh, interesting. I did not know that. That is actually a fun fact. Who was in the Olympics and then became a professional wrestler?
The one that most people will know is Kurt Angle. He won the gold medal in 96, I want to say.
Okay. And his name is Angle? A-N-G-L-E?
Yes, like a perfect wrestling name.
That really is Kurt Angle. 96 Olympic. Did he win like a gold or anything? Or
he won gold, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah, won gold with a broken neck, which gets made it's become cliché now in wrestling. But right. No, he really did do it with a broken neck. That's not hyperbole or anything. That's truth.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's huge. That is huge. What is Did he change his name to something more wrestling-ish?
He actually, it's unusual. It's even more unusual now than it used to be, than when he did it. But he's Kurt Angle. So, I mean, they just went by his real name. Yeah.
Right. He didn't have to call himself the Flying Weasel or something like that. Or is he a good guy?
He did both, and he did both very well. Honestly, depending on who you ask, since I've been watching it, which has been since probably 80.
Okay, since the 80s you've been watching? Because yeah, I watched yes. it in the 70s, and it was dumb. But my grandmother loved it so much, and I was like, it doesn't seem real. And she's like, stop talking to me. And so I did about wrestling because I'm from my hometown. The Crusher is from my hometown. Oh, yeah. And so they just built a statue to the Crusher.
Really?
In South Milwaukee, Wisconsin, with him holding a quarter barrel of beer, because that was traditionally how he worked out. He would lift quarter barrels of beer. Because
wow.
Yeah, he's just from Wisconsin. He was weaned on Pabst and Ho-Hos. It was more of a caricature I don't know what it. Would you say it was more caricature-y in the 70s and 80s?
It still is.
Okay, I think more of the same. Just kind of it's just shinier now.
It's shinier. It's got prettier lights. There's a lot more money behind it, and
yes.
It's fancier.
The money,
I mean, it's very it's a lot fancier now, especially when you look at the one that that most people think of when they talk about wrestling, World Wrestling Entertainment, or the WWF when we were coming up.
Okay, is that still happening? The World Wrestling, because I know there's always drama, actual drama behind the scenes with all that money. Like there seems to be a real legal fights and people genuinely angry.
Go ahead. Which angle are you referring to? Because there's lots of
right, right. Well, because there's the real business of wrestling, and then there's the fake drama of the written storylines of the wrestlers. So there's the real drama of a bunch of super rich people fighting about different words of wrestling and who owns different things and how to get it on TV or pay-per-view or whatever. And then there's let's talk about the real drama first. Like what's the current who's the big name in wrestling? Is it World Wrestling Federation?
The big name right now is World Wrestling Entertainment.
Entertainment. WWE. Okay.
It's honestly, I wish I could remember exactly how he put it. But a friend of mine, he's a professional wrestler and he also does stand-up.
Okay.
And he compared wrestling to stand-up. And when he explained it to me, I'm like, oh, I get it now. I mean, it's cliquish. You've got, infighting. You got to worry about, you're worried about your spot on the card or on the show. You've got your buddies, but it's still individual. And you've got, not only are you fighting each other, mm-hmm. I mean, honestly,
yeah.
You're also fighting the promoter to not only get your money or get what you deserve.
Okay, so it's set up like clubs, like stand-up clubs, and there's bigger venues and all that. Well, that's an interesting way to describe it.
The politics of it is similar, is how I put it. Like the clubs, you go on to the arenas and everybody goes to the arena, but everybody's fighting for a handful of spots on the show.
Right. Right. And there's levels as you come up, right? There's different, there's like sort of A-ball or whatever, the minors or just in stand-up talk, it's one-nighters and four wall and rooms, just sort of smaller venues versus bigger venues. And yeah.
In wrestling, we call that the independents.
Okay.
Because there are smaller, they're basically smaller shows around the world, really. And the independents are basically not from the bigger companies. So it's very similar in that way, yeah.
Okay, so right now, the sort of the big dogs, the people who own the means of production, shall we say, in capitalist terms, is World Wrestling Entertainment.
Yes.
And they are, and that's where all the big fights are happening.
Well, that's where all the most, well, it's kind of, it's the biggest company.
Okay.
Because there's another, this is where, down the rabbit hole we go. Okay, there's another company that started, I want to say 2 years ago. It was 2 years ago, called AEW. There's a gentleman by the name of Tony Khan who has been financing it. And they
have AEW, American?
All Elite Wrestling.
All Elite. Okay.
Yes, which is a reference to one of the in-groups, that one of the groups in the promotion.
Oh.
That calls themselves the Elite.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
So,
and Tony Khan, that's an unfortunate name, or is it? Okay.
He is related to, I forgot who his daddy is, but his dad owns the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they own a soccer team.
Okay.
As well. Like, they've got silly money.
Yeah, yeah. This sounds like he has absurd, yeah, just crazy cash. So, okay, so they just started a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And do they have stars as well? Like, is there rising stars in both?
This is a point of contention with wrestling fans, the wrestling fans that are left, because the wrestling fans now are very particular. It's weird,
okay.
So as far as creating new stars thing goes, what people have been complaining about with the WWE is that they're not paying attention to the fans to help create new stars, because it's a synergy there. Again, just like comedy. If no matter how good you think your joke is, if people don't laugh, it's not funny.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if what people are trying to do is get over, and they're which is either be the most popular, the most hated, the most talked about. Okay.
Okay.
And every guy and gal on that show is trying to do that. And the fans' response is how you figure out who's getting over and who isn't.
Right.
But in the last, gosh, it's been the last few years. Almost the last 10 or so. There's gaps in my watching, to be honest.
Sure.
It feels like the company is fighting with the fans.
Oh, just try to force different characters instead of just let it sort of be organic and as weird as it's always been.
Right. Now, like, here's a great example. Every wrestling fan any wrestling fan that hears this is old news to them.
Okay.
I forgot what year it is, but it was WrestleMania 30.
Okay.
The lead up to it. Okay. So, about a year prior, or about, you know, a few months prior, people started getting behind this gentleman named Daniel Bryan, who's more of an everyman. Like, if you saw him in the street, he'd be like, oh, that's a guy who works out, he's pretty athletic. You wouldn't think he's a professional wrestler, probably.
Okay.
Like, he's not very big.
Right.
In the grand scheme of things.
Okay.
And it's not somebody who, he is not the type of person, looking at him is what I'm saying, physically,
okay,
not the type of person that usually gets that type of push.
Okay.
But he connected
because he's just too sort of normal looking, or?
Kind of. That's part
okay.
of it. But
yeah.
he's so good at his job, he connects with people.
Yeah.
He was an everyman, and he connected with people, and he's really good.
Yeah.
So people started getting behind him. Well, at the same time, there's this gentleman by the name of Roman Reigns who's related to a gentleman you may have heard of by the name of Dwayne Johnson.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And he's
The Rock.
Every bit. He looks like Roman Reigns looks like a freaking, like, he looks like an action figure. Like,
okay.
He, you know, big Samoan dude, like, just ripped all to shreds, long hair, just, he's handsome, he's fast, he's strong, he's good, and he comes from the Samoan family, which they know what they're doing when it comes to the wrestling business, so, and he looks the part.
Yeah.
So, Vince sees him, and he says, I gotta push that guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, both Roman, the plan was to have Roman win the Royal Rumble, which is a whole nother thing. It's the winner of that gets the main event spot.
Okay.
Is supposed to get the main event spot at WrestleMania, which is the World Series.
Okay.
And But that's not what the people wanted.
Oh, they wanted Daniel.
They wanted Daniel Bryan.
Okay.
Like, it was so bad. Now, The Rock is almost untouchable. Like, he's genuinely, like, he could almost do anything. Like, he got caught with, John Cena called him out with having notes on his wrist for a promo. Called
okay.
him out and called him out on TV, and people still did not turn against The Rock. Like, he is untouchable in wrestling. I want to make sure that this is
right.
That makes sense. Okay, so in this Royal Rumble leading up to WrestleMania 30, Daniel Bryan is in for a handful of minutes, maybe 5-10. I wish I had all the stats in front of me.
Okay.
But he gets thrown out pretty early. They're in Philadelphia too, which can be a hostile town.
And this is WrestleMania 30.
This is the Royal Rumble.
Oh, this is Royal Rumble. Okay.
Okay, so they throw Daniel Bryan out. People are not happy.
No.
Guess who wins? Guess who wins the Royal Rumble?
Is it Roman?
Yes.
Shocking. Shocking. Only the fans. Only the fans who wanted Daniel to win.
Right. And he, you know, when he wins, the people come unglued in the worst way. They start booing. It's from a PR standpoint, it's pretty bad as far as, you know, the
right,
reaction
because,
they
because
want.
Because they're selling him as a good guy, and they should be cheering him.
Right. And The Rock comes out.
Yeah.
The Rock comes out to give him his, you know, like, you know, this is my boy. And, you know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
give him the, you know, give him the old, give yeah. him the rub as they say.
Yep.
Fans weren't having it. They were happy to see The Rock. Yeah. Like, he was in there. They're booing. They play The Rock's music. They cheer for a second. Then the people realize, wait a minute, he's about to put over Roman Reigns. So mm-hmm. he raises his hand, and people are like, nah,
nope.
player, and booed him out of the building. It was crazy. So eventually, and I may be getting something mixed up. I probably am.
No
but
worries.
Eventually.
I'm fascinated. It's always because this is, I think the last time I had somebody talk about wrestling was Open Mike Eagle. 4 or 5 years ago, so I haven't caught up with just the drama. We got to catch up. The soap opera that is wrestling. Go ahead.
And this is just between the fans and the company.
Right.
We haven't even got to the other stuff.
Right.
But so what? So they, you know, they boo Roman out of the building. But anyway, go heading up to Mania. Another guy quits by the name of CM Punk. He may get mentioned later. And they have to, on the fly, no, it was Batista won that year. That's what it was.
Oh, okay.
It was Batista came back, Dave Batista from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, sure, Drax. Yeah.
Yes, he came back. It was him. Mm-hmm. He came back. He won, and people were hot. So, like, okay, so they had to shift around. The Roman Reigns thing, I think, was the year before, the year after.
Okay.
It's all starting to run together. But Drax
was another guy who was backed up by the company. And
right.
And the audience was like, but we like this Daniel Bryan guy.
They wanted Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
And they didn't want Batista, who was a wrestler first, went to the movies and then, you know, came back or whatever.
And he seems super charming and very, very likable.
As far as with my brief interactions with him, yes, he's always been good to me. That's about all I can say.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is he's cast as sort of a likable lug, and he does a very good job in the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes,
there you go.
Yes. So it was Batista wins. Daniel Bryan is, and the people are like, "We're not having it. We're not having it."
Right, we want
they
Daniel
boo,
Bryan.
They boo Batista.
Yeah.
Right, so between January and it's usually the week after. It's the week the WrestleMania is the week between the NFC AFC Championship games and the Super Bowl. It's always the week before the Super Bowl.
Okay, and this is 2014. I looked it up. WrestleMania 30 was in 2014.
Okay.
Okay.
So he goes into WrestleMania, and then they basically they build up the story. He has to beat Triple H, who is, you know, one of the leaders of the office. Like, in real life, he married the boss's daughter. That's
oh,
a whole
right.
other thing. That's insanity.
I do vaguely remember that from a previous wrestling Dork Forest. Okay.
It is. Yeah, that's insane.
That's crazy. Yeah.
And then, so he wrestles Triple H. He beats Triple H. Then he wrestles Randy Orton and Batista in the main event. and ends up winning, and the place goes crazy. It was like, and the place went nuts. They were in New Orleans area. It was in the Superdome, I want to say. Yeah.
And so this is Daniel Bryan.
Right.
Okay. So they eventually fold. They eventually fold to the fans and they say, okay, you guys want Daniel Bryan? We'll let Daniel Bryan be the one. And so now he won WrestleMania.
He did. Unfortunately, he got injured right after that, so they had to take the belt off of him, which sucked.
Yeah.
But it feels like, but you would think, though, after something like that happened and the goodwill that they built, that they would follow what the fans are kind of, you know, try to ride the wave, but
yeah.
stick some plot twists in there, but right. It's wrestling. It's not supposed to be Shakespeare. It's not supposed to be complicated. Like, at the end of the day, most of the time, I want the good guy to win unless the bad guy is getting set up for another good guy down the road.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
It's really not that difficult.
Fair enough. I totally agree. So who are your favorite? I mean, are any of these guys still wrestling today?
Speaking of AEW, Daniel Bryan will be, the rumor mill, the scuttlebutt, if you will, is mm-hmm. that Daniel Bryan signed with AEW, which is a huge sign. It's the equivalent of, I only have sports references and you're not a sports person, I don't think, are you?
But someone else will get whatever, but it's a big deal.
It's a big deal. It would be, it's the equivalent of Hulk Hogan going to WCW in the 90s or in, I guess LeBron going to the Miami Heat or going to the Lakers. Like it could be a game changer. Like
right.
it could be, you know, he's very popular still.
Let me just say, let me just weed off and just tell you that Brian Regan has a joke about, he is from Florida. He would like to start another basketball. The reason I know the Miami Heat is a basketball team is because Brian Regan said that he wants to buy another basketball team for Miami, and he doesn't want to call it the Heat. He wants to call it the Humidity. And that is the dumbest, funniest joke about basketball I've ever heard in my life. And then he said, and then I would like to sell that team because I don't need to own that team. But that's, I would like to make that joke with a basketball team. Anyway, it's the Miami Humidity. Okay.
Miami
so,
humidity.
I've completely weeded off from who your favorite current,
wrestlers. Who are my favorite current wrestlers?
Like, have you ever pay-per-viewed?
Been on one or paid for one?
Paid for one.
Yes, paid for quite a few. Do it anymore.
Right,
it's an old...
Is it an old platform? They're not doing it anymore? Or?
It's an older model. AEW uses it. WWE is more of a content creator now. And
Is it subscription?
They used to have their own channel, and now their content is on Peacock, which has been...
Oh, that's the new NBC streaming service, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Interesting. So pay-per-view is an older model.
For wrestling it is.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, UFC uses it, boxing still uses it, and they make a ton of money. I'm not saying it doesn't be, it's not used. I'm just saying for wrestling, which is the only one of those I pay that close attention to, it's become a more outdated model because WWE now has their... what were called pay-per-views are now bigger shows. I don't know what they call them. I still call them pay-per-views. But their big shows every month are on the streaming service. So if you have the streaming service, then you can watch it.
Oh, then you just get it as part of Peacock or whatever.
Right.
So those are the big ones, though, right? Those are... Mm-hmm. Are any of those guys still wrestling? The Rock and Batista and like all the movie star guys?
No, the only movie star guy that's wrestling right now is John Cena.
Okay.
And he's on a part-time basis for obvious reasons.
What is, I don't know who he is. Even though
John Cena.
Huge. Nope.
Nothing good. You don't do music, right?
Right.
John Cena, I was just being silly. Anyway, John Cena is on, he was in Bumblebee is the one I've seen him in. He was in Suicide Squad.
Okay, which I haven't seen yet, but Like, and the first one, I saw Birds of Prey. But I will. But the thing is I should know who. But I didn't know that John Cena was a wrestler until just now. But the guy looks like a walking fist. Is that the person I'm looking at? Is that
walking fist?
Is he just a giant? Is he this guy?
Yep, that's him.
Okay, the guy looks like, yeah, that guy just looks like a tank.
He's a little he's slimmed down now, but he's big.
I don't know why I thought he was a comic. Look at that dude. That guy's not. I don't know how funny that guy is, but is he funny?
It depends on your sense of humor, I guess.
I guess. I don't know anything about it, but so he does some wrestling.
Yes, he's also in F9, the last Fast and Furious movie.
Oh, fair enough. Okay, so he's in sort of big blockbustery kind of things, and who are your favorite guys working today?
Let me see. I like AJ Styles.
I meant to ask you this, by the way, before we got on, but I forgot to send you any sort of prep. So Agent Styles?
AJ Styles.
Oh, AJ Styles.
I'm a fan of him.
What's his jam?
He's actually just kind of a normal dude who does a lot of high flying stuff.
Oh, he's just super athletic, like acrobatic.
He's super athletic. And he's not the most athletic guy is probably Ricochet, who is in the right circumstances is absolutely spectacular to watch, as is John Morrison. The athletes that they have now are miles ahead of the athletes of yesteryear, sure. That's the one thing that wrestling has improved on, for sure. And there are people, I could just run a list of people and from that. I'm a fan of AJ Styles, Shelton Benjamin, who's he was Brock Lesnar's roommate, and he is one of the best athletes ever to grace a wrestling ring. Like, it's ridiculous.
So,
and he's in his 40s.
His name's Shelton?
Shelton Benjamin, yeah.
Okay, and so when you say athletic, are they doing, like, because, you know, like, here's how little I know about wrestling, but they're jumping off the cords, off the mm-hmm. ring thing, and so they're doing that. They're jumping into each other. They're jumping over each other.
Yeah.
Are they also, like, what is the spectacular, like, what's the specky kind of stuff that they're doing? What's the spectacular physicality of an AJ Styles or a Shelton Benjamin? Or a guy with an awesome name like Ricochet. That's a great name, by the way. Good call.
Wow. What did Ricochet did some, okay. This is a simple one to describe. Okay, so it was a match. It's a ladder match. Basically, the winner has to climb. You have to climb a ladder to get this suitcase off from that's suspended like 20 feet in the air. Okay, so you have to set up a ladder with six other dudes trying to kill you. So it's absolute car crash.
Right. That sounds absolute like that ninja crash. Game. Anyway, so that sounds like an obstacle course.
It's almost like a giant erector set or Legos or something, because people will set up ladders in different spots, and you'll be like, well, what were they going to do with that? And they'll come back to it and use it in a way that, I mean, if you've watched it enough, it's like, oh, I saw that coming. But I mean, they people come up with such unique ways to use ladders to beat each other up with.
It's, oh, okay.
Or fall into, and just, it's, yeah.
Sure. They used to just pick up chairs from outside, then pretend to beat each other with the chairs.
Oh, that's real.
Yeah.
That's real. those are actual shots.
Chairs, but they train, right? I mean, has anyone ever beat somebody to death in wrestling?
Not that I'm aware of.
Because I think that it's supposed to be theater, right? Like the physicality is real, but they're not using all of their strength. Like, they're using a lot of their strength to check, to make it look real, but check the hit, right? Like, they aren't actually trying to beat each other to death with a chair.
With the chair. Okay. So with wrestling,
I feel like I'm talking to my grandmother. It's real, Jackie. It's so real. And parts of it are real, right?
The It's more real than you think it is. The chair shots, okay. Like I'm not. There are no headshots anymore.
Okay.
Because we know about concussions. There are no more headshots.
Okay.
But I'll put it this way. People, if you hit somebody in a safe spot, in a safe space or a safe spot, which would be like across the chest, across the back, things like that, areas like that where there's plenty of room to hit in front of the surface area.
Yeah.
You can almost go to town on somebody.
Okay.
And you're not going to permanently injure them. Like, so a chair shot to the back is a, and depending on how much the guys like each other in behind the scenes,
yeah,
depends on how hard that shot's going to be. But they're going to hit them hard enough to make noise for sure.
Right.
Somebody my size swinging it. I'm apologize early. I'm like, look, I'm not very big and I don't have the angle on this the way I should. So I'm going to swing this as hard as I can. Tuck, I'm going to aim for your back. As long as it's safe, I'm sorry. And I'm going to hit you with it. And then just swing. And that's what happens.
Have you done this? Is that what we barely know each other. So yes. I get to ask, do you wrestle? Have you done professional wrestling?
The answer to your first question is no. And I have done it. Yes.
Okay. But so you have, is it like an open mic? How did you get into professional wrestling? Even nominally, even hobby wise,
I have it's a very interesting story. So,
oh, we've got time, my friend.
Yes. I live in Jeffersonville, which is across the river from Louisville, Jeffersonville, Indiana, which is across the river from Louisville, which has always been a wrestling hub.
Okay.
And I used to live in, my parents live in Memphis, and I went down there after college, and I met a gentleman by the name of Ken Wayne.
Okay.
Ken Wayne is somebody I remembered watching on television as Nightmare Ken Wayne. So as soon as I saw him, I'm like, I know who you are. And he's like 5'7", 5'8", maybe, not a very big guy. I was like, that's interesting,
right.
Mental note. And I always wanted to get in the wrestling business, but I didn't really know how. And he's like, hey, it'll cost you X amount. And I'm like, I don't have that kind of money.
Right.
And
it costs money to get into wrestling.
It costs money to do any kind of learn any kind of trade, right?
Okay, fair enough. Okay, just for classes and lessons and kind of stuff. Okay, that makes more sense. It feels like buying it to get into stand up. But go ahead. I digress. Continue.
So a few years later, I come back to Jeffersonville, and I had it with the way corporate America works.
Mm-hmm.
Still feel that way. And
gave it a shot.
And I said, you know what? I've done everything I wanted. I graduated college. I did, did high school the way they wanted me to. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to go be a professional wrestler.
Oh, fair
and
enough.
And so that's literally what I did. So I called. I make my decisions a lot that way. It's probably not healthy.
What the heck?
It's like, you know what? I'm just going to completely change my life. What's the worst thing that could happen? If I die, it's not a big deal anyway.
Oh,
I won't live to regret it.
It sounds like you hit a wall, my friend, and I am very sorry to hear it. But you lived, so it's a kind of a triumph. So continue.
So I call Ken. And he's like, where are you at? I'm like, I'm in Louisville. He's like, or I'm in Jeffersonville. He's like, well, it's like Danny's school is right there. Why don't you call him? Danny Davis, Nightmare Danny Davis, tag team partner to Ken Wayne.
Okay.
And it was literally a mile from where they were training, was literally a mile from my home.
Oh my gosh.
Or where I was living. I was living with a friend at the time.
Right.
So there's a lot of serendipitous things that happened.
Right.
Like at the time, this was a warehouse. It was like, I missed the old Davis Arena. It was, chairs on like two sides. One side, it was so small. You had two sides with chairs. One side was the concession stand, basically. And then the other side was a wall.
Okay.
So you could only really work three sides.
Okay. So it was
it was in a corner. It was ridiculously small.
Okay.
So I go in there and I find out how much it costs. I pay my money and I just start training. And some very like just weird things kept happening that's like, it's like the universe or whoever was like, open up, like, you really want it, here you go. Nick Densmore, who was Eugene in the WWE, took a liking to me. He saw that I had he felt that I had an aptitude for it.
Okay.
And so he would take me. He would take me and a couple other guys. We would do smaller shows in Cincinnati. We wrestled in like West Virginia in front of 20 people.
Working the road.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
While working a regular job.
Yeah.
So,
of course. Stand up. It's just like
so this
up.
Was so where OVW where which where I started training also happened to be the developmental territory of World Wrestling Entertainment.
I was
in a beginner class, which was to help, which looking back on it now and knowing what I know, just knowing what I know, was a big part of paying the bills for OVW.
Right. Right.
Yeah. You know,
of course.
That's how they kept the lights on for a long
exactly,
time, I'm sure.
Keep the doors open. You know, yeah.
Right. So I entered the beginner class, and I remember Nick said one day, he's like, hey, you want to come in one day, during the contract class, I can watch some videos with him, because Nick was training a lot of the contract guys at the time.
Guys are guys who have a contract?
They're basically AAA. Basically AAA wrestlers.
Okay.
So basically they're developing.
They're in the system. Okay. Fair enough.
Right.
Contract guys.
So, and they can come from anywhere. A lot of them have never wrestled before and stuff like that. So
just like the sport. Just want to come in. Sure.
Or they're like, oh, you're big.
Yeah.
You look like you turned heads in an airport. Come on in. So needless to say, I was not a contract guy when I got there.
No.
So Nick had me come in to watch a tape of a match from some time. And I walk in and there's this guy that's in the same class that I'm in. Mm-hmm. And he's sitting and watching as if he's part of the class. Mm-hmm. And I look and I'm like, And it was one of those moments, and I'm sure you've had. You look at him and you're like, I know I'm better than he is.
Oh, yeah.
I know I'm better than he is.
And he's acting as if, which will get him work. Yeah.
And he looks the part.
He
looks the part. He looks the part. So we go in, we watch the video, da 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 da. And, you know, I get, you know, Nick's awesome. And, you know, a lot of his advice goes, you know, right over my head because I don't understand what the heck he's talking about. And at the end, I look at it and turn to him. I say, so when do I start?
Yeah.
And he's like, I'll see you Monday.
Oh, there you go. You just gotta ask sometimes.
So
yeah.
I was gonna dare him to tell me why this other guy was better than me. I was hoping he'd call my bluff, to be honest, because I'm like, if he's in there, come on now.
Exactly.
I was just gonna go after it.
Right.
So between that from this to, you know, I'm in the class with, I'm trying to think if there's any names that we would know now. Probably, we did do some stuff with Big Boss Man, but he wasn't training, literally, you know, obviously he was coming down to help us.
Okay.
Because
there's both sides, right? I mean, obviously there's people coming up, and then there's people who are sort of, you know, aging out of being able to do it all and just going into coaching and stuff like that, sort of.
There's probably more of that now than there was then. Like back then, like when I mentioned Boss Man, he was coming down to rehab because, you know, he was off. He wasn't on the road anyway because he got hurt.
Okay.
And coming in, you know, one to check out the guys that, you know, the new guys, of course. That's the other reason he's there. But also to get some ring rust off before he gets back on the road.
Okay. Okay.
So.
Yeah.
So they open up a new warehouse, but it seats like 500 people.
Nice.
OVW is still there to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first night that we opened, you know, it was a packed house, da 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 da. After the show, everybody leaves and stuff. And nobody stayed, just guys didn't think. I genuinely think that's what it was. And almost nobody stayed to help clean up the arena.
Oh.
And I I was working a night job at the time, but right. I hated it. So I really didn't care if I didn't go and right. I was about to get fired. Didn't care. So
you're like, I might as well stay here and work.
So, right. You know, so I helped sweep up.
Hanging out. I bet you hanging out. Huge part of the wrestling gig as well. As much just like stand up.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Squeaky wheel. You're like, yeah. Oh, okay. So you hung out and helped break it down?
And we, you know, cleaned up broom, sure. You know, just, you know, cleaned up the da da da. Yeah. And the next week, I can't remember. The next week, Jim Cornette, who is the booker, he's the guy who writes the show, for lack of a better way of putting it. He sets up all the matchups, and he's the one with the vision of for the show.
Okay.
Is how to put it, because what if I understand the way he does it correctly, way I understand him correctly, my understanding not him doing it correctly, is he'll book to the show like the big show, right?
Yeah.
Like our pay per view,
yeah,
our version, and then he'll write the show backwards from where we are today. So. Today, this needs to happen to set up this. So so by the time we get to the show, that people are ready to come see the big clash.
Right.
Basically.
Right.
That's what he does.
It's I was fascinated. I've had Mike Schmidt, I think Ron Funches, and I think Open Mike Eagle were the three episodes I've done about wrestling.
Okay.
And every time it's fascinating to me, the writers. So what was this guy's name, Mike?
Jim Cornette.
Oh, Jim Cornette.
Oh, are you going to have a ball with him?
Okay, Jim Cornette.
He is quite the,
Well,
character.
Right,
because personality is the word I'm looking for.
Right, and it's the soap opera guy, right? It's the person who's writing the drama and the storyline. That you're
yes.
like, you have to have this, the character is doing this so that this person can, we got to wrestle. This isn't going to be a wrestling match. It's going to be a war. And, you know, that kind of thing.
Kind of. And I guess I kind of flinch it because I was trained, like the training I got was from Jim Cornette or Rip Rogers. And wrestling fans are going to know these names.
Okay.
Rip Rogers, Danny Davis, Nick Densmore, Lance Storm, Al Snow, like guys who have been everywhere. So I've got a little bit of everything in there. So there's sometimes that when I hear things, I'm like,
okay. Like, so like, you know, sort like, of a like
character, like character, for instance.
Yeah.
And it's said a lot more now than it used to be. But when wrestling really works, when a personality gets over, it is because it's normally a turned up version. The Undertaker is an exception. It's usually a turned up version of the real life person.
Okay.
So the Rock is Dwayne Johnson, all amped all the way up versus he's probably amped up to 10. That's Dwayne Johnson amped up to 30. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You know, so like there are at the, so it's the people that you really, that are really popular usually. There's an aspect of the real personality that's coming through.
Okay.
And
so
that's why character's a little weird.
Right, because
at the same time,
it's not so much fictionalized as just made bigger.
Yes. If all things being equal, it should be. You'll find other people. At its best, in my opinion, that's what it is.
Okay. I love that. Yeah. So coming up, and you're meeting all these sort of like the power behind the throne guys, you know, like all the people who create these, you know, these characters and stuff. How long did you work? You're not still doing it, right?
No, no. I did it on and off for about 8 years.
Oh, wow. That's respectable.
The biggest part, probably the most dense part of it is my first 3 years in the business.
Mm-hmm.
Because from that cleaning up thing that I was telling you about, Jim Cornette, told me the very next week he saw me. We hadn't spoken two words to each other. He'd seen some amateur matches, I would assume.
Yeah.
And he said, "Go buy a tux." I'm like, "Okay." And in like 3 months later, I made my television debut as, God, what was my name? Morris the Butler for Rene Dupree, the French aristocrat.
Oh, my God. I wish you had been able to write your own character. The thing is like I've talked to you now for 2.5 hours. No, 1.5 hours. Because we did your podcast. By the way, I am talking with Demond Thompson, you guys. And Demond Thompson has a podcast called Demond Does. DEMOND DOES. And it's at Demond Does on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all the things. Demond Does has a podcast where he asks people 6 questions. Andy Ashcraft did it. And then I did it. And then Andy's podcast partner, Shlomo Scher, did it. So a lot of people, you know, Shlomo Scher was on the episode at Dork Forest a couple of weeks ago talking sandcastles. Very weird. Very lovely. Anyway, and he also has a debate show called DisputedPod.com. Anyway, you were a butler? That was the conceit?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Now that's where the caricatures come from.
Well, and it can be like, are there any, like I was talking to Ron Funches about how it's sometimes hard to like, you love wrestling, but sometimes it's hard to like wrestling because of how sexist and racist it can be. Or in Ron Funches' terms, how racist and sexist it could be. In either direction, there's trouble. And yes. So the writing, I wish that there were – is it because most of the writers are straight white guys?
It's even worse in wrestling, and I'll tell you why. All the writers, as far as I know, in the two big companies are all white dudes. What makes it worse for WWE is there's really only one person that you have to entertain, and that's Vincent Kennedy McMahon. He's in his 70s. He's in his mid 70s.
Okay.
So he's in his mid 70s and has not been outside of his wrestling bubble since the 70s. You know,
yeah, I swear to God, so back in the 70s.
You can only imagine
I promise you that in the 1970s, as a child, I was told that racism and sexism was going to die out with these old dinosaurs, not knowing that there was a 35-year-old asshole sitting on deck warming up with a couple of donuts and their baseball bats. And you're like, I don't like you. I was told that you were not going to exist. And so 77, that guy was alive during the civil rights. I mean, it's not like that guy was born in 1912, you know, that guy was born in 1945, right? Or 1950. No, not 1950, but I mean, whatever. So what you're saying is that Vincent Ken McMahon might not be a super enlightened dude.
There's that part of me. And also, he is a promoter and businessman. So he may see part of it is his own vision on things and mm-hmm. what he sees wrestling is. And he really, you know, he's wanted to distance his company away from the term wrestling. Like, he created the term sports entertainment, and, you know, all the wrestlers are superstars, and, you know, he's done a lot of that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Because at the end of the day, I think he's a promoter, and part of it is his own like storylines and stuff. Part of it, that is him. Those are things that he finds funny. Those are things that he finds interesting.
Yeah.
And there are no, I don't know what the writing room looks like, but I remember when I was the short time I was there, there were no people of color.
Okay.
In the writing rooms.
Right.
And in their defense, they do, you know, guys are encouraged to pitch stuff all the time, whether they're going to listen to it or not.
Right. Right. I mean, well, and the whole thing is, you know, I don't know if you saw any women in those writing rooms either, but there's sometimes one or two, and those are people that are willing to suffer the idiots around them because they love something so much, you know? And you're just like, well, I guess I got to work with these idiots, but I like the thing. This is the thing I want to do, and so you sit in that room, which makes it better for the next person,
Right.
But there's just the voice is very small compared to the larger voice.
Right. And everything runs, that filter run, everything runs through Vince. So even if you have something enlightened, if he doesn't get it,
right?
Like, pitching stuff to him, like, maybe getting ahead of myself, pitching stuff to him, at least for me, obviously I wasn't there that long, but I was like, what's the worst thing he's going to do is fire me. Sure did.
Oh, shit.
He didn't do it personally.
No, no.
I mean, everybody gets fired eventually. It's wrestling.
Yeah, it's wrestling. I suppose everybody got to move on. So,
right. But I pitched it in a way that, and I tried to pitch things in terms that he understood from his own product. You know what I mean? So, like, I worked with this gentleman named Ernest the Cat Miller, mm-hmm. and Vince saw him as more of a James Brown type guy. So he wanted him to dress up like James Brown. So yes, so they had me wearing a wig and a tuxedo and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately thought of the Honky Tonk Man. For those who don't know, the Honky Tonk Man in the 80s, early 90s was an Elvis. And basically Elvis impersonating a wrestler.
Okay.
So he would come out, he had the slick hair, and you want to see the Honky Tonk Man sing, you want to see me dance. And he was originally supposed to be a good guy, and the people booed him, and back when they were paying attention, paying attention to the fans, they mm-hmm. they put Jimmy Hart with him, and he wound up being the longest running Intercontinental Champion. But I thought the Elvis comparison to the James Brown comparison was apt, and
yes.
Then I'm his Jimmy, I'm his Jimmy Hart, and
right.
I can do different things that he can't do, and that like stuff like that. So that's that was the way
you tried to pitch it,
right.
And it didn't, so it didn't fly, and they were like, no. No, we watched it. They didn't see it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And he didn't really give me a response anyway, from what I remember. I mean, it was 15-plus years ago, so.
Right, right. And it's so, so you're working, but the thing is, so you're doing essentially what I would call in stand-up sort of B-rooms and weekend rooms that aren't sort of full room, but you like they aren't the bigs, right? You mm-hmm. did you get what was the biggest venue that you got to play? Was it kind of neat?
I was that my biggest claim to fame, other than that I have been beat up by, if I'm not mistaken, 8 former WWE champions.
There you go.
Is that I was in the Royal Rumble in 2004?
Okay.
So that was my biggest. That was my biggest audience. Yeah.
Fair enough. The Royal Rumble, and then so when you say you were beat up by these guys, and you know what that means as far as physically, do you still have aches and pains from this thing? You know how like
not as
good,
not as much as somebody who did it full time for years would.
Right.
It. I forgot who where I got this source from, and it may be completely phony.
Okay.
So it,
grain
this
of
could
salt.
Be wrestling.
Grain of
this
salt.
Could be wrestling scuttlebutt for all
okay.
I know.
Fair enough.
For all I can remember. But every bump, which is like I want to say they're talking about flat back, which is falling straight back.
Okay.
Is the equivalent of a small car crash.
Oh wow! Yeah.
And
I
then
think
when
somebody
that,
else told me that too.
And then when you watch a match now,
mm-hmm.
Not every, there's a, it's a, ten, there's been a tendency, or there's a trend for longer matches for some reason. Not that every match doesn't need that, but for even in a 5 to 7 minute match, you watch how many bumps guys take now.
Yeah.
And guys are smaller, they're leaner, cause they have to look like action figures. Cause that's what Vince likes. Let's be clear.
Okay.
There are a few exceptions, but there aren't very many.
Right.
So they don't have a lot of meat, and then the style is more athletic.
Right.
It breaks down the body a lot faster.
Yeah.
It's like I probably as a wrestler would have fit in now ish, but I don't know if I'd have wanted to do it just because of the things that they're doing now. It's like I don't know. No.
Right. I remember the most athletic thing I saw was the high flyers, the jumping Jim Brunzel mm-hmm. and the little guy. The jumping Jim Brunzel was a bigger dude, and his partner was a skinnier kind of dude, and he would sort of sometimes jump off of Jim Brunzel. But they both probably went into you know, management or whatever. And so if the matches are 5 to 7 minutes, what's a good length of how long? If they're running longer now, are they longer than 5 to 7?
Sometimes. I'm referring to AEW more than WWE. I mean, okay. WWE, they have two matches that go 2 or 3 minutes. They have matches that go 5 to 7. And, you know, they're basically done like TV segments.
Okay. Okay. So they try to run them so they can run commercials or whatever. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we have about 10 minutes left here. Let's talk about, like, these days, how do you watch wrestling? And how much wrestling do you watch? And is there favorite stuff happening? Like, what's fun? Like, if someone wanted to get into it, like watching it, not doing it.
Watching it. yeah. I consume a lot of wrestling now through YouTube. A lot of people will watch clips, but I actually, for the bigger show, for, you know, the weekly shows, because Raw is on Mondays and it's 3 hours.
Okay.
And then if you know, every show is at least 2 hours long, and that's a lot. That's a long commitment. And I got little kids.
Right.
So I watch. Right.
You're raising people.
Yes, I got other stuff to do.
Yeah.
And so they'll, you know, there are YouTube shows that will condense it down to 20 minutes on what happened and that kind of thing. And that's how I usually, from week to week, and then I'll watch matches if I hear about something really cool.
What's a good YouTube channel to watch the condensed versions? Because I would watch it for 20 minutes. There's no way I'm watching 2 or 3 hours of wrestling. Hell, Olympics was hard for me to watch in real time. I was like, a fast forward? Okay.
Let's get to the final 2 minutes. Come on.
Yeah, I'd like to see the last 2 minutes of any basketball game. Yes, I will watch that. Anyway, but so on YouTube, am I just YouTube Googling Raw?
Yes, and that'll usually bring up clips. Mm-hmm. Raw, SmackDown, or the WWE shows.
Okay.
Dynamite is the AEW show, and they have Dynamite, and then Dark, which is a YouTube exclusive. I believe that's correct.
Oh, so you have to subscribe?
No.
Okay.
No, all those are free.
I'm totally free.
All those are well, with your subscription or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
What I've been watching with a buddy of mine, we've started hanging out again, and every Monday it's now just wrestling and chilling.
Yeah.
And we've been watching some smaller shows. One's called Impact, which has been around a lot longer than you expect. It's been over 20 years now.
Okay. If we
let's say AEW and WWE are one and two, and then those are national level,
right?
Indie level is like basically regional. It's usually regional and or, you know, in small handful of places or something like that. That Impact is closer to that. NWA is closer to that right now.
Okay.
Ring of Honor is another good one as well. And one that me and my buddy watch now because we love it. It's called MLW. I want to say it's Major League Wrestling.
Okay. Well, that's fun, and, though. Right. And so you just on a Monday night, you guys, is that also on YouTube? So you just like sort of hang out, you know, like have dinner or have a couple of drinks or something and just put it on the TV and just watch wrestling and go, who is that guy? Like, are you seeing newer guys come up?
In MLW, for sure, they actually cycle through guys that you've heard of as well. And, you know, you're going to see people that more people that I was not aware of are going to be in Ring of Honor.
OK.
Impact has a mixture, but they have more guys that I'm not familiar with. But from there, it's you know, scares.
Yeah, that's cool. So I like the idea of these smaller kind of things. And have you gone to see any live stuff in the last couple of years?
Not since the pandemic.
Oh, right. Not the last couple. My apologies. Like, yeah. How about the last 5 years?
I think this is going to sound so snotty, but I really don't want to go to another wrestling show if I have to pay for it. I feel like It would be like you can't, you pay it, I am not comparing resumes, by the way, but it would be like asking you to buy a ticket to a comedy show is how I feel about it, but it personally.
And that I've had that feeling forever. Like 8 years into doing stand-up, there was no way I wanted to pay for stand-up. I would say the last time I paid to see a stand-up show, would have been, I saw Stephen Wright in 1987.
Wow.
So that would have, and I didn't want to pay for it, but I kind of wanted to see what 45 minutes of one-liners looked like. So that's why I paid for it. And it was fascinating. I was like, oh, they're not all one-liners. So just so you know, Stephen Wright also will sort of weave some things together so that it can mix up the timing so that you enjoy the entire time. You don't have to just start, stop, like a crazy person, which is what I imagined it would be, not realizing that Stephen Wright was a professional. He's fine. Turns out he's an adult man, not a hobby, and he does it for a living. So don't sweat it. Go see Stephen Wright. But yeah, so you don't really want to pay to see wrestling because of the history of it. So,
that and I usually know somebody in the locker room. I still should know some people. So I'm like, or I know somebody who does. So I'm like, hey man, so I've been to a WWE show. It's the first one. My daughter was four.
Okay.
That was a mistake, but it was fun.
Okay.
We were in the second row.
Was she too little?
I think so. The show starts at 8 and her bedtime is at like 9:30. So she's already that's already witching hour time. You know what I mean?
Right. So the yelling and the screaming, it's not going to really blend in. And you're booing at the wrong time. And
she just would not sit still because she knew she would fall asleep. So there was like, Georgia, leave those people alone. Come back here. Hey, baby, leave it.
We're trying to.
But what's weird is like she hid in my, like we were in the second row.
Wow.
And like, so we're right there and on the hard cam side. So when they pose in our direction.
Mm-hmm.
And, I remember she was in my lap a lot of times, just facing my chest because it was loud and people are crunk and everything else, and I was kind of disappointed. I'm like, I really wanted her to enjoy it or watch it or something. It was just frustrating. The next day she was like, oh, I had so much fun. This person was like, Charlotte Flair was awesome. She wore blue and da, 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 da. I'm like, you had your face in my chest when she came out. Like,
right, she was present at some level that you did not notice because you were like, I hope you're having a good time. You're just, and you're worried about her having a good time. It was hard to have, but it'll be great when they're like 10 or 11, when the kids are, 8, that seems more of a time to bring kids to see the crazy sporting event.
Yes.
The theatrical sporting event.
Yes.
And yes. Do the kids watch on Mondays with you and your buddy?
We go to his house after the kids are in bed.
It's a solo moment where you get to have friend time.
Right. They do watch the pay-per-views with me, the special events and stuff. Like my son loves the lady wrestlers.
We didn't even talk about the lady wrestlers and we're at an hour, but I was just, I was curious if there were, cause sometimes are there WWE lady wrestlers?
Yes, and there are some really, really good ones.
Okay.
I may be hyperbolic here, but this is, and it has a lot, it has ways to go too, but
sure.
This has been a new gold, this has been a golden age for women's wrestling. They just, Sasha Banks and, Bianca Belair, the WrestleMania was two nights this year, and Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair became the first African Americans to main event WrestleMania. Male or female.
Okay.
And a couple years ago, Becky Lynch, Ronda Rousey, and Charlotte Flair were the first females to main event WrestleMania, period.
Wow.
There's still a lot to go because it's still run by a bunch of white
guys. Because Vince is, he's probably has the blood of babies going into him, so he's going to live for another 20 years.
His mom is still alive.
Oh, my God. that's actually bad news for wrestling. But in other news, I got to have you back just to talk about the women's side then.
Yes, absolutely. Okay,
ladies and gentlemen, we have been listening and talking with Demond Thompson. And Demond Thompson has a podcast called Demond Does, D-E-M-O-N-D-D-O-E-D-D-O-E-S, Demond Does, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, find him. And super fun, where he asks people the same six questions. Anything that I'm not plugging that you want to plug, Demond?
Just Disputed. We live stream every 2 weeks. It'll be our next episode will be on the 19th. I'm not really, you know,
this
I'm
will
gonna
drop
go ahead and
the
say
24th. So August 24th.
Okay, it'll have already happened at that point.
The one after that will be
Axel Foley and Axel Foley versus Mike Lowry. So Bad Boys versus Beverly Hills Cop versus Bad Boys.
Oh, okay. And that'll just be available on YouTube afterwards, or just if they go to disputedpod.com, they'll find all the links to all that stuff.
Yes. Disputed Pod will have everything.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for doing the show, Demond. That was so fun.
Thank you.
Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?